Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host on this weekend special one-hour edition of Motherload Views. We're taking a look at the issue of homelessness, specifically in Tuolumne County. Pleased to be joined in studio by ATCA's Executive Director, Raj Rambab, as well as Tamara Dockstader, who is the Housing Resources Director for ATCA. Tamara, I'll pose this next question to you. You know, do you have any statistics in regards to, you mentioned that 19% increase in homelessness in recent years. You know, what does that mean financially? What are the different types of costs it creates?
Well, when I attended the Envisioning California conference last, about a week and a half ago now, there was several people on the panel. They were mostly from large urban areas, Sacramento, San Diego. But there was one from the homelessness in San Diego County. And she threw out a statistic of it cost Medi-Cal an average of $21,500 per homeless person in any given year. And if they've been diagnosed with any kind of substance abuse problem or a mental illness, that goes up to $60,000. It has been proven for people that are able to have some kind of model in place to house people those costs will be cut in half, or from 50 to 65% cost reduction if they're able to get those people housed, because they're not going in with the foot wounds. That's a huge thing in the homeless population. They talked about the Hep A breakout in San Diego County. It has now reached almost 100 people when I was there in Sacramento. And they have some cases in Fairfield now as well. So that could be a reality for Tuolumne County if we do get any transient population, that we could have a Hep A breakout up here as well. So if those people are housed, they're less likely to pick up some of those communicable diseases they're just like wildfire in a camp.
Raj Rambab, it kind of leads into the next topic I was going to go into, and Tamara mentioned earlier, you know, with 3,000 people, often it's 3,000 different solutions. But, you know, what are some of the things that can be done? What are the potential solutions to kind of combat the issue of homelessness?
Yeah, solutions are complicated, but interventions are less complicated. And many times we conflate interventions with solutions. And so the simple answer to solving homelessness is housing. We had enough homes. Even if you use the economic idea of supply and demand, you have enough places, you know, we could put people in them. But that doesn't necessarily solve the conditions and dynamics that led a person to homelessness. Gave a couple of cases, some that, you know, tragedy in adulthood, from a strong adult and how that spirals down. Another extreme is a young person who has been suffered some trauma that never had the opportunity to, or the opportunities to really grow in a healing way and have a lot of brokenness, unresolved, untended to brokenness, that makes it very difficult to function in what we might call a normal way. So housing folks is one piece of a big and messy puzzle. You know, we talk about the illustration of a hand up versus a handout, and both of those approaches really are interventions. What I like to do is talk about, you know, holding a hand over a long period of time, which is more entering the arena of solutions. And relationships are vital for human flourishing. None of us without loving, trusted, reliable relationships are going to do much good with our lives. Those are essential. So one of the things that I find is most necessary, no matter what our interventions are people, both paid professional staff in these service sectors and community volunteers, willing to learn how to be effective handholders. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but as an accompaniment, a way to accompany people as a friend who really believes that there's some inherent value in that individual or group of individuals, to help see them through the trying times, to hear their struggles when their applications get denied for healthcare or employment or whatever, because those stories are just as important to listen to as mine are or yours are.
When you talk about housing, are you primarily talking about shelters? Are you talking more affordable housing? What do you mean by that?
You know, there's communities that have actually taken the housing first approach pretty seriously, and they've constructed dwellings that I think most of us would consider a home of some kind and place people in them as a first step. And then other services are added on in addition to the housing. So not shelters, not group homes, but actual either single or family, double or family occupancy type units. And I believe it's Salt Lake City and the state of Utah that have tried some of those interventions, and those have gone pretty well. Other communities are trying, like, the tiny house movement. So I think any of those interventions are good interventions. It's what we do on top of that that really makes the difference towards solutions versus just the intervention.
And again, when you say on top of that, what are you kind of alluding to then?
If a person is suffering from a mental health issue, getting them quality mental health care. Sometimes that involves medication. If a person has a chronic illness or diabetes or, you know, managing those things becomes really, really important. And most people, I know very few people who don't want to work. Most people want to work. They want to contribute in some tangible and positive way. But not everyone is equipped at the same moment to be an effective worker. So some of those strategies as well, again, coming back to partnering with employers to be creative and innovative on how we integrate folks who have been outside of the normal workforce for a while. How do we integrate them back into the kind of the normal workforce? And
sounds like something that'll take an entire community buy-in to have different areas and different people getting involved.
Yeah, and that's why we're not there yet, because we don't have people that are willing broadly enough to agree and say we all have, we've all got to put some skin in the game.
The housing efforts, like you mentioned, what are some kind of the real-life challenges to getting those things off the ground and making it happen?
Well, Tamara can speak to this. I mean, we actually have funds that we cannot spend down, funds that go to help people pay rent. But we can't find units. Tamara, can you give some specifics?
Sure. We have our rapid rehousing is for, like I said earlier, chronically homeless folks, and we also work with, in collaboration with CalWORKS, that they have a program that pays for housing too. And on any given week, you're lucky if you can find two or three affordable housing units, and we have 30 people, 30 families or more at any given time, because we kind of run a 30-day cycle, because we have to, you know, make sure they still qualify for our program, that are looking for housing every single day. And I tell them, look in the morning, look in the afternoon, and look at night, because if you miss that small window of an affordable rental, it's gone. It could be gone the same day. Multiple applications. I actually saw an ad in Craigslist the other day that they said they had stopped taking applications for a property that was a studio downtown, a studio for $800, but it included everything. But they had stopped taking applications. It was posted for 2 days, and they would repost if none of those applications had gone through. So the landlords can be extremely picky on who they choose. Oftentimes they don't want to work with ATCA or an agency like ATCA. It's not because of ATCA, it's because of the people, you know, that perception of the folks that might be moving in. So it really becomes our responsibility in my department to talk to the landlords, try to create those relationships and assure them that we're going to be there. That we're going to be there through the process. Like Raj mentioned, we case manage and make sure that these people, teach them how to have a landlord-tenant relationship. Many of them don't know that at all. They think it's okay if they leave stuff laying around, or, you know, the toilet's been leaking for 3 months and now it's fallen through the floor. Now they call the landlord, right? Mm-hmm. All things that maybe make common sense to a lot of people, but people that are recently housed, They don't have any idea what that is. So part of my job is really teaching some basic life skills And so that helps them maintain that, get the trust in the landlords. But a lot of times when homes sell up here, they don't get converted back into the rental market. So it's very difficult. We have a diminishing affordable housing. $2,500 for a three-bedroom, two-bath is not affordable. There's no way that that working poor, that family, two full-time incomes, kids in school, can afford a $2,500 a month rent.
I mean, our housing stock in Tuolumne County is just low.
Very.
It doesn't matter what income level you're in. There's just not a ton of stuff available. And then out of the pool of potential applicants, as Tamara said, you're probably not going to want to rent to somebody who's got this kind of sketchy history on their application and maybe a terrible credit score. And we do our best to advocate. And, you know, Tamara pointed out a couple of cases that are more on the severe side, where folks who have not been housed for so long, they've kind of lost touch, lost connection with what it takes to run a household. So that coaching, that guidance are things that we provide. And that requires either understanding privately owned property landlords, or it requires subsidized housing that is specifically designed to house folks in this arena, and then have the accompanied staffing to help bring people back in to understanding what it's like and what the needs are to maintain a household, and then transition from there into open market housing.
Teaching some of those life skills that you mentioned, I assume that's on a one-to-one basis?
Oftentimes is. And then we offer in both counties a smart money class that we're teaching now at our shelter here. And then we have somebody that teaches it in both Calaveras County and Amador County. And it's basically telling somebody, okay, here's a bag of McDonald's, and this is what it costs. And here's a chicken and some fresh fruit and some vegetables, and this is what it costs. Because everything is so quick and processed, and you know that runs down a whole different thing. But they don't know how to buy any way else, and particularly if you're not housed, you can't have it's very difficult to have the perishable type items. You just can't keep them where you might be. So that's part of our responsibility too, is to look at the whole picture. That's why there's that 3,000 solutions, because there's that one family that has these needs, and within those families you can break down the needs of each individual family member.
And it, you know, with the smart money classes, one of the things that's a huge gap is, you know, most of us, that and probably just about everybody listening to this broadcast, is perfectly comfortable walking into a bank and understands how to open a checking account and knows some basic questions to ask. Whereas somebody who hasn't really been engaged with the banking system, doesn't come from a family that engaged with the banking system, has never kept a balance account on what they've got. It's, you know, that's a whole, it's like traveling overseas, you know. So there's a lot of cultural competencies that also have to be taught, and communicating that you have the right to have a bank account. The banking system exists to serve you and your needs. Don't be afraid to talk to people. And sometimes this is kind of where that hand-holding piece comes in. Sometimes you have to go with people, because maybe they've – and this is not an exaggeration – maybe they've never been inside a bank before. And going in with folks, talking to the people who sign folks up for a checking account, and how a debit card works, how you log in and do online banking. So the literacy involved with financial management, many of us just take for granted. But if somebody didn't teach us, we wouldn't know either. And that's a role we find ourselves in fairly often.
The issue of homelessness, now that the city of Sonora is taking a hard look, Tuolumne County also taking an active hard look at this issue, do you expect there to be some actions coming soon, or is this a really long and probably drawn-out process to make any changes?
I think we will see some interventions within 12 months. Mm-hmm. Solutions, again, much more complicated. Requires a
at least interventions coming a little bit quicker.
Yeah, I do believe that the level of compassion, concern, and awareness that has taken hold in this county in just the little over a year that I've been here has been immense. And people are really, really wanting to get something done. And I boil most things down to in this line of work with three things. One is we need three things. That's all we need to do pretty much anything. One is space. Two is permission. And three is money.
And Tamara, being kind of on the front lines with this issue with ATCA, do you work with quite a few other local organizations and groups in the community?
Absolutely. There's several consortia within Sonora, but probably my broader-based consortia that I'm part of is the Central Sierra Continuum of Care, which has four counties involved, Amador, Tuolumne, Calaveras, and Mariposa County. And what we do is we get together monthly, and many people at the table. You have behavioral health, you have probation, you have school districts, you have domestic violence shelter folks there. And we all come together as a group and talk about what's coming up, what are you doing, which direction are you going. So when we have a person, we have many, many places to offer those services to. We can say, oh, I know exactly who can help you on this, or I'm going to get you to this person because I know they'll help you with a gas voucher because you're just starting work. So those kind of collaborative partners are critical, and I will piggyback on what Raj says. This is a county and a community problem, and I am so thrilled to have the passion of the census takers that we had for our PIT count that just weren't quite, they weren't even aware. Although they were the first one to stand there and volunteer, it opened their eyes up. So I think a lot of what's happening, and we're seeing the momentum starting to happen, is that the awareness is there. And with the continuums and consortia and different things, and this is our chance to get our voice out there, one voice saying that we need to do these things moving forward, and this is how we can do it.
And Tamara, with the continuum of care, there's also coordinated entry.
There is.
And can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. We have a coordinated entry system that is defined and frameworked after what our funding is through HUD, Housing Urban Development. And so we talk every Monday morning, and we have all four of these counties, all of these partners on one call. We respect the privacy of the person, so we just talk about the family unit. They make this much. This is their situation. They have a disabled daughter. They're trying to get SSI, whatever it may be. So we're all these collaborative partners are on that phone call every Monday, and and from there, many times where maybe ATCA, maybe my office in Sonora presented this case, somebody in Calaveras County said, "Oh, we've just started a program that has this involved," and we can take that person and put them in the best place where they're going to get the most services. So that is really, really helpful in trying to help the population as a whole.
Well, it's a big topic. It's been very eye-opening. We have just a couple minutes left. Any closing comments as we come to a close today? I'll start with ATCA Director Raj Rambaugh.
I guess my comment is when you walk around Sonora or anywhere in Tuolumne County and you see somebody who you suspect might be homeless, just see that person as a full human being. That person has had triumphs and tragedies just like you. They have hopes and dreams just like you. They've made mistakes just like you. And I just plead with people not to render a circumstance as an identity, but see folks as whole people with immeasurable potential.
And Tamara Dockstader, closing comments.
Sure. I love to say that I have an open door policy. So anybody that's passionate about this or wants to learn more, they can call me at my office at any time. I'll return their call and we can have a further conversation about what we're doing and what we need to do.
Does ATCA look for volunteers for different things?
Yes, all the time. I mean, the largest venue to volunteer is at the food bank. We're looking at offering, and that requires lifting and a lot of coordinating and other things. So we're actually in the beginning stages of developing a number of different volunteer opportunities, some that are clerical, some that are more on the front lines. You know, like the point in time count happens maybe once every 2 years. In this case, we've got it twice in the same year because of local private funding. And that took a lot of volunteers. But we're actively looking at various things that we need help with. One thing that is coming up that we're going to be doing some broad marketing recruiting for is the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, VITA. And we have a really robust site here in Sonora that's been around for a while. We're developing. We've got some exciting developments in Amador County as well. So if you like numbers, you're good at basic arithmetic, and want to participate in a program, it's the single best program to put money in the pockets of low-income folks. It's the VITA program. If you want information, call the main office, and we'll get you plugged in.
Well, I know homelessness is a topic we're going to be talking about over the next year, so I thank you for giving us an update on how things stand right now, and look forward to talking to you down the road as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, BJ.
And we thank you for joining us on this weekend's edition of Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. And a programming note, this show was recorded shortly before ATCA released the results of its summer pit count that was referenced earlier in the show. A total of 711 homeless residents were located during that count. And of note, 177 were children under the age of 18, according to ATCA. The main issues cited that led to homelessness from the people who ATCA interviewed include a lack of affordable housing and employment opportunities. Acknowledging that reducing homelessness is a major challenge, there seemed to be a majority and a consensus at the first meeting on the topic among those in attendance where the numbers were released that the best approach is to pick a single thing or project, make it a success, and then gradually build on that success with other efforts. Among those on hand during the first meeting on homelessness were volunteers as well as county supervisors Sherry Brennan and Randy Hanvelt, Sonora City Council members Mark Plummer and Jim Garaventa as well. You can find more information about that first meeting and the summer pit count up on mymotherlode.com. Also, ATCA announces that a second meeting entitled What's Next, looking at the issue of homelessness, will be coming up November 8th at the ATCA office in Sonora. It will start at 6 p.m. on the third floor of the Sonora ATCA office. That meeting will be open to the public. And again, I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We thank you for joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Next week, we'll turn our attention to the Stanislaus National Forest, be joined in studio by the new forest supervisor, Jason Kuyken. He'll give us a preview about when we can expect the next Stanislaus National Forest plan to be done. He'll also talk about the major issues facing the forest right now and his goals and strategies looking ahead. Again, that's next week on Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.